baptism is a sign of many things. And from the earliest moments in the Christian church, baptism was a sign or a picture. It was a picture of being washed clean. And you immediately might say, well, Jack looked pretty clean when I saw him before he got dunked. And if he was dirty, why would he not just get a wash in the privacy of his own bathroom, like most people? Well, it's probably important to know that the sign of washing points to a greater reality. It's a sign, in the most special way, of a person being no longer unclean. And now, at the time the Bible was written, being clean was of the highest importance. In the ancient world, it wasn't just about dirt and dust, but it was also about your health. If you were described as clean, it meant that you lacked any kind of disease or disorder. And in fact, religiously, the idea of being unclean was really to do with death and decay. And ultimately, a person's sense of like being in the right place and at peace in God's world. And so if you were unclean back then, to be washed and made clean, well, it was really about being decontaminated, being cured, being made whole and acceptable, not just in the eyes of your community, and not even just in the eyes of God, but in your own mind and sense of self as well. Now, today, in our times, in our much more secular culture, we tend to think that we can solve those kinds of problems ourselves. We're told, aren't we, that when things fall apart, we sort them out. We put them back together. We're self-sufficient people, we're told. We don't need God's answers. But maybe what we're seeing today in our world and in ourselves is the shadow side of that kind of modern attitude. Maybe having to have all the answers to all the problems is making us feel not more powerful and free, but more powerless, maybe even more fearful. Maybe today we wouldn't describe that as needing to be washed clean. But we do know, don't we, that we need something. And that was how Jack's story kind of began. He was looking for something. And it's not just him, actually. For example, earlier this week, I read something from J.K. Rowling. She's the author of the Harry Potter books. She shared really honestly about her own spiritual journey. She said this: I've struggled with religious faith since my mid-teens. I appear to have a God-shaped vacuum inside me, but I never seem quite able to make my mind up what to do about it. I'll probably go to my grave with that particular personal matter unresolved. A God-shaped vacuum, empty hole on the inside, and she doesn't know what to do about that. And again, today we probably wouldn't describe that as being unclean, but we would say that something about humanity has clearly gone wrong. And in the Bible passage that Sarah read to us, God puts his finger on exactly what has gone wrong with us. It's good for you to know the story behind that passage. Maybe 600 years before Jesus was born, God had finally confronted his people for their blatant unfaithfulness to him. They've become a people full of bitterness and injustice. They don't care about each other. And worst of all, they couldn't care less about God. and they've turned away from life itself. They've become unclean, unconnected with a, you could say, an empty God-shaped hole on the inside. And I say that God is putting his finger on what's wrong with us because, again and again, across the Bible, God confronts his people with the message that they need cleaning on the inside. As if their very souls need healing. Jesus even said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. That's what defiles a person. Think about it. The worst things about us, our rage, our hatred, our lying, our stealing and snatching, our gossip, the very things, worst things about us, they spread like a virus from the heart. God essentially says, an impure heart makes an impure person. And of course, the Bible says that human beings were made to be clean, clear. But as humanity turned away from God, unclean impurities invaded humanity. The human race became polluted in the most profound way. Humanity has a sin sickness on the inside. And of course, we don't know what to do with that. We like, which one of us can rewrite our own DNA? Who can mend their own broken heart? Yeah, we might do our best to clean up the outside, to button things up well, but God sees the inside. And I hope, actually, that you're beginning to see that God actually wants better for you. You might say, oh, God knows that I'm doing my best, but God wants better for you. God isn't satisfied with your best efforts in the wrong direction. God wants us clean and in the clear. And so this short passage that we just read points to the fact that each one of us has a profound spiritual problem and need transformation deep down on the inside. And baptism is a sign that we need washing. I'll put it like this. Verse 29 of the passage that was just read to us, right at the first sentence, God says, I will save you from all your uncleanness. Can you see that? It's in the safety of that kind of promise that we can begin to truly face what's gone wrong with us. Because baptism, yes, is a sign that we need washing, but let me move to my second point. Baptism is a sign that God washes sinners. Praise God. The greatest problem we have required the greatest answer God could give. You see, these promises of God in the book of Ezekiel and the sign of baptism point to the same reality. God saves the ungodly. God alone washes sinners clean. And actually, there's two major things I want you to notice in that text this afternoon. Who it is that does the cleaning and what it means to be clean. You see, firstly, it is God himself who does the cleaning. Seven times in this short passage, two words of God are repeated. I will. God says, I will. I will sprinkle. I will cleanse. I will save. It's so important for you to know today that when God makes promises, he always delivers. And what he promises here in Ezekiel, we see ultimately delivered in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And how do we see that? Well, the Holy God, he took on human flesh. He was born in the dust and dirt in Bethlehem, and not part of some kind of untouchable elite, but as a gentle servant. He washed feet. He touched lepers. He laid hands on the sick. He lifted the dead. He stepped towards our emptiness to become the greatest answer to our greatest problem. God stepped into our disorder and darkness. Jesus became one of us in our world, just like us. But more than that, in a way that none of us have been able to, Jesus lived in our toxic world, but it didn't make him toxic. You see, he was clean and in the clear. He didn't have a sin-sick heart. And even as his creatures broke his body on the cross, they could not break his spirit. And even as evil did its worst to him, his goodness was revealed. Jesus at his best. You see, the Son of God became a man and he lived the incorruptibly clean life that each one of us should have lived. And yet at the Father's will, he died for our sin and rose for our salvation. And he lives now in heaven and is able to make unclean sinners clean. He can redeem the irredeemable. Or to pick up the ancient language of Ezekiel, what we're seeing today is the sign of Jack going down into the water. What we see is that Jesus can cleanse us from all our impurities, all our idols and unfaithfulness, all our sin can be washed clean. Because Jesus did that for us, he alone can sprinkle. And you will become clean. And so the second thing to notice is what it means to be clean then. And you may not really have heard Christianity talked about in this way, but can you begin to see how monumental this is for life? You could even say that humanity's greatest problem is that we're not moved by God's goodness in our hearts. Just not moved. And we're not moved by God's goodness or to reflect his goodness in the world. But the answer God promises in Ezekiel and delivers for us in Christ is a new heart and a new spirit that transforms our relationship with God and his goodness. We're given a new heart. You see, I don't know if you spotted it in the passage, but that old, heavy, cold, stony heart is removed and we're given a heart that's alive and beating and responsive and tender to God's touch. A heart that turns towards him instead of away from him. A heart that's melted by his goodness, able to love and be loved. In fact, it's a heart that is unlocked to worship. See, when God saves a person, he performs a spiritual heart transplant. But also to be clean means to be given a new spirit, like opening the doors and windows and letting fresh air flood into a stale room, God says, I will put my spirit in you and move you. What that means is that it is God's spirit guiding us to live clean, training us in goodness, showing us how to be whole, how to love God and others in all the details of life. You see, when God transforms a person, he transforms our deepest motivations and he unlocks our worship, but he also unlocks our willing obedience. God makes it so that our best efforts run in the right direction. And that's what it means to be clean, to have God work his wonders on the inside so that you live an increasingly good and glorious life. Because somehow you have deep down become good and glorious. Clean, filled, worthy of God, alive to God. And again, of course, we can't do this for ourselves. We clean the outside, that's all we can do. We can't clean and cure our souls. But you see, baptism is a sign that God gladly came to us to wash the very worst of us. God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Spirit, washing us clean to transform the darkest, most ungodly parts of us, to overflow our despair, to end our powerlessness, to straighten out our lying, stealing and snatching, to flood our emptiness, to decontaminate our disease, to extinguish our fears, to cure our sin-sick souls. Clean and in the clear from the inside out. God alone washes sinners. You don't have to wash yourself. You don't have to sort yourself out. No, Jesus can put right all that has gone wrong with us. Baptism is the sign. Jack, your story, your changed life, your worship, your willing obedience is the sign that God alone saves. And so what does this mean for you today? Well, here's what I really want to press into your hearts. Anyone can be saved. Baptism is the sign that anyone can be saved. You see, authentic Christianity, following the real Jesus, is incredibly inclusive. Did you notice that? All your impurities, all your idols, all your uncleanness will be clean. Now, I don't know your past. I don't know what you struggle with today. I can't see the murky corners of your heart, but I don't have to. Your life actually may be an absolute car crash, but God says he can deal with it all. There's no dirt so baked in that it could resist the divine detergent of Jesus's power and love. There's no mess that God can't take care of. And so that means anyone, literally anyone, can be saved. In fact, in the New Testament, we read this. In fact, it's on the next slide, Kay. Thank you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who says to Jesus, I need washing. I believe you alone wash sinners like me clean. Jesus, I want a new heart. I need a new spirit. I need your spirit. I want to be clean and live for you. Anyone and says, who says and really means it in their heart of hearts, calling on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And if you've called on the name of the Lord, like Jack, you are clean. You are. And so now, live clean lives. Do all that you can to live in the clear. Live by the Spirit, making progress in love for God and for others. Because if you really think about it, if you call on the name of Jesus to transform you from the inside out, it doesn't make sense then to resist change in your life, to not embrace spiritual growth as the kind of a new way of life. You become a disciple, baptized in the name of the Father, the Spirit and the Son, a living apprentice to God. And so, please do pray for Jack, that he would make great progress in godliness. In fact, pray for all of us as a church here, that we would be a church family marked by our learning how to be as good and glorious as God is. For the sake of Rotherham and South Yorkshire and the world. Because that's what God wants. To clean up the sins of the world. That's the very heart of God. God delights to wash sinners clean. He wants you to call on his name. And that leads me to the final thing I want to say today. Earlier, I read to you how J.K. Rowling had struggled with a sense that something was missing since she was a teenager. And I know when you're a teenager, you think you've got your whole life ahead of you all the time in the world. But, well, the first thing to say is tomorrow isn't promised to anyone. But also, we should learn from J.K. Rowling's story. 40 years or so later, she's no longer a teenager, but she hasn't been able to sort herself out. She hasn't been able to sort through it. She said that she'll probably go to her grave with the matter unresolved. That most profound matter a human being has to grapple with, the empty hole in their chest, the health of their soul, unresolved. And so whether you're young or old, whether on the outside you look good or bad, whether this is the first time you're hearing something like this or the 151st time you're hearing something like this. Maybe you've been in church all your life, but you haven't yet settled this for yourself. May this today be a moment of clarity for you. See, the good news of Jesus is that this matter of your soul can be resolved today. Not because you sought it yourself, but because Jesus has sorted it. God's great answer to our greatest problem stands ready to save sinners today. And he pleads with each one of us. Wash. Wash. Have your sins washed away, hurled into the depths of the ocean. Call on his name. Bring your guilt, your shame, your bitterness, your emptiness, your rebellion and defiance. Bring it to him and he will wash you clean. And he will not cast us out because we're unclean. He came seeking the lost, searching for sinners. And he is overflowing with grace and gentleness. And he will not run out of what you need. Call on the name. Come to him. Bring your burdens and your brokenness. Bring your confusion and your failures. Call on the name of the Lord. Whatever you've done, whoever you are, you don't need to leave it unresolved today. Jesus stands ready to save. So let me pray. I'm going to call on his name. And if this is something, if to call on the name of the Lord is something you want to do today, why don't you pray this prayer along with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I need washing. I believe you alone wash sinners like me clean. Please forgive me. And Lord, I believe your promises. I believe these promises. I want a new heart. I need your spirit. I want to be clean and live for you. I believe your death and resurrection means you can save me, that you want to save me. And that's why now I call on your name, the name of Jesus, to be saved from everything unclean. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.